We'll keep this kind of top of the waves and let you all ask us questions at the Q&A session. So, for those of you who don't know, the Connecticut Green Bank was created in 2011 to help the state reduce its reliance on grants, rebates, and other subsidies and move towards innovative low-cost financing to support the governor and legislature's comprehensive energy strategy. So our programs are all tied back to that strategy and are kind of built off of that. So in Connecticut, we have over 19,000 homes. This was as of last Friday. It was just over 19,600 homes have installed solar in Connecticut, and that is rapidly growing at about 1,000 new homes every week. It's pretty significant. The solar potential in Connecticut, however, is at least 150,000 homes. That's just a drop in the bucket, right, in comparison to what can be done. We have seen through our programs in the service area that you all support that overall the percentage of residents participating in our programs as we've set out is kind of in line with what we see with the rest of the state, with note except for the POSIGEN, which is what I'm going to be talking about in a moment. That is our low to moderate income solar lease program. So this is basically just telling you the same thing, is that we have created programs that are serving 100% of area median income or lower, because we found, if that's that demographic here, because we found that the penetration of solar in those communities was significantly lower than the average. So we have found that this is our current penetration, but per 1,000 households, homeowners who are less than 60% of area median income, only 3.9 per homes per 1,000 projects or 1,000 households have installed solar, where the total average is 13.9. So to bring those people up to where we are as a total, it would actually be they'd have to increase solar penetration 5 times in that demographic. 60-80% AMI has to come up 2.4 times, and the median income, or 80 to 100, is 1.4 times respectively. However, when we started this initiative about a year ago, these numbers were actually 10 times, 3 times, and 2 times. So we have seen a significant increase in the past 9 months, really, since these programs launched. So we support low to moderate income programs at the Green Bank in kind of three ways. The first is through our residential solar incentive program. So that's an incentive that comes off the top of the cost of solar to the homeowner. And we have created a performance-based incentive for a leasing structure for low to moderate income homeowners. That is actually done in partnership with POSIGEN Solar Solutions. They applied to an open RFP we had almost 2 years ago now. And we have worked with them very closely to create community-based Solar for All campaigns in Bridgeport, New Haven, and now launching in Hartford. And it's a solar lease option, or solar lease with an option for energy efficiency solutions that are, as Marissa mentioned, the kind of deeper second-tier improvements. The program leverages home energy solutions and home energy solutions income eligible. It uses an alternative underwrite rather than a traditional credit score pull, and community partnerships, which is really how they reach this demographic. Alternatively, we also have the Smarty Loan, which is a low interest unsecured loan for over 40 different energy improvements on one measure. So it's pretty much anything that's going to be creating or saving energy in a customer's home. And it's a 580 credit score higher with a partnership with Capital for Change, formerly the Connecticut Housing Investment Fund. And built into that loan, we've allowed for 25% of the total loan amount to be used for health and safety related upgrades, such as asbestos lead mold remediation. So with POSIGEN, this is an example of energy burden and why we were trying to find a solution for this demographic. Kind of at a high level, about 5% of a home's energy costs or a home's income is used on energy. With a solar PV, if the customer just decided to lease solar PV, that could bring it down to 4.3%. But additionally, if they added on deeper energy-saving energy efficiency measures, they could bring that energy burden down to 3.4% of their energy costs. So there's significant impact we can have on people's homes through programs like our partnership with Posigen. And we're seeing it now. Posigen launched in Bridgeport last summer. So this was our launch in the upper left-hand corner. That's Susan Young's home. She loved the Posigen model so much and believed that it could really help people that she asked them if they had jobs available and started working there right away. And she's one of their top salespeople because she really believes in it. She lives it. And that's Prince Street. That's a street in Bridgeport. So we are seeing significant changes really happening in communities. So there's a lot of potential, and we're really excited about our partnership with Posigen. Their goal we have set out for them is 1,000 participating households to achieve 6 megawatts of solar PV. So far, in 9 months, they've had 225 installations, which is 1.43 megawatts, and they have about 130 in the pipeline currently. 65% of those are low to moderate income homeowners. 100% of those residents are taking advantage of the home energy solutions or income eligible programs. And 64% of their customer base is taking advantage of the option to do the deeper energy savings as a part of their lease. So that's a 64% pull through from the home energy solutions programs to tier two or additional measures. And they're really all about hiring local people. So that's 33 jobs they created in 2015. And 19 in 2016, and they have about 30 more planned that they're hiring with their expansion into Hartford. That I'm going to pass over to my colleague, John Degasin.
Great. Thanks, Madeline.
You guys hear me if I don't use this? Pretty loud. So, I didn't have the opportunity to provide my biography. I'm John Degasin. I'm the senior manager of the multifamily program at the Connecticut Green Bank. I don't have the specific experience with the Neighbor-to-Neighbor campaign, but I am a recovering bureaucrat who tries to make information very clear for audiences. So this is a very brief synopsis of our multifamily programs. Speaking very broadly, the whole purpose of our multifamily program, multifamily sector is a challenging one, taking it with efficiency upgrades, with going solar, with energy in general. The principal agent problems, there's metering issues, health and safety issues, as Madeline spoke to. So the kind of the driving conceptual framework that we operate with, we're trying to help owners, tenants, save money on their utility bills. We're hoping to improve the health and safety, also the occupancy of multifamily dwellings. So this is both in terms of retention, making sure that there's less turnover. When there is turnover, maintaining higher overall occupancy rates year over year. So when I think of kind of the financing that we offer at the Green Bank, I think of it in terms of two phases, pre-development and project development. I get calls from folks who are very wide-ranging stages in their own kind of thinking about their upgrades. People who want to do something, they're not sure what they want to do, but they do want to do something. They don't know where to get started. I get folks who are a little more sophisticated who maybe they've gone solar and they want to go deeper. Maybe they just replaced, you know, their furnace or something in their 2-4 unit owner-occupied dwelling, and they want to do something more comprehensive, whether it's insulation or new lighting or the like. So this is kind of just the divide that I have in terms of how I think about projects. So on the pre-development side, just getting started is usually the biggest obstacle for folks because a lot of folks don't know how much energy they're using. They're not, you know, you're not maintaining a model or a spreadsheet of the bills for your bills, for your tenants' bills. Again, a principal agent issue. So just analyzing, having a baseline understanding of how much energy a building is using, that's kind of step one to get started. And I'll speak to how we're kind of doing this a little bit. Design and engineering, making sure that when you're looking at potential projects and upgrades, you're not necessarily designing for just one element. You're thinking comprehensively about the project because there's ways that energy upgrades interact with one another. We want to make sure that we're trying to capture all those opportunities that create value in the home, right? If the property is saving money for the tenants or the owners, there's more value in the property. So taking advantage of those opportunities helps speak to multifamily property owners pretty easily. Like, all you're doing is improving the net operating income for the project. In terms of development financing, I'll just kind of put these out here. It's a stepwise process, right? You're funding, you're obtaining funding for the project, you're installing the project, but most importantly, you're also monitoring the project after it's installed to make sure that those energy savings are being realized. So I'll see this one in my various types of financing. So on the pre-development side, we have two major pre-development loan products. What we term the Sherpa and the Navigator loan. The way I self-select these, the Sherpa loan, we have someone who's on retainer to help folks through the energy upgrade process. We work with New Ecology that works in the multifamily energy upgrade space. So when folks call me and say, hey, I want to get started, I have no idea where to start, I go, great, we have a designated contractor, they go through a prescribed process, they're standardized pricing, they're going to hold your hand through the entire pre-development process to get you from where do I start to hopefully, a fully designed project. For folks who maybe they have a contractor that they know they want to work with, they're a little more sophisticated, they've done upgrades in the past, they tend to self-select into the Navigator loan track. In this track, you contract your own contractor. So you manage your own project from day to day. Both of these loan programs, the way they behave on the back end, it's a 25% owner copay, and the Green Bank funds 75% of the pre-development cost. Most folks won't get started if they're not sure that there's a project there. But if we're loading 75% of cost, and the project was, whatever the first step is, like $2,000, and you're getting a $1,500 loan, and you're only paying $500, now people will start to take action. The benefit of that loan is that if, for whatever reason, as you proceed through your project development, you reach an impasse where there are health and safety issues that make the project cost prohibitive, there's not a viable project to be had using the smart upgrade opportunities after the project has already gone through whether tests or kind of upgrades in the past. The Green Bank portion of the loan can be forgiven if it is a forgivable loan. Our goal is to hopefully get folks to think comprehensively about the project, kind of identify all the roadblocks, and keep that project moving forward. So if the project is viable and keeps rolling forward, our 75% loan portion can be rolled forward for each successive loan. So it kind of takes the burden off people. People say, oh, wow, there's a real opportunity here. There's some massive energy savings. I can keep going. So anything else I want to say on this? Pretty low side. No, I think that's it. That's what I say on this. Yeah. Another initiative that we've recently just launched is Benchmark CT. This kind of goes hand in hand with the pre-development process. The Phoenix Housing Finance Authority and the Green Bank have partnered with WegoWise. This is a energy tracking software to help baseline up to 1,600 properties in the state of multifamily properties in the state of Connecticut, because it's really challenging for property owners to know, am I doing well? And so you have something to compare it to. So our goal here is to create a nice database that you can understand, okay, I have this type of property in this community, looks like this, let me look at the properties in my surrounding area that kind of have a similar profile and understand what opportunities they've done or kind of what change they've made and what's my opportunity. So we are, it's the first year is free for this, and then you pay on a yearly basis afterwards. But I think out of 1,600 slots, we've only used 50 so far. So lots of opportunity to get multifamily property owners to take that first step of understanding their property. In terms of term financing, we have a couple different term financing solutions. LIME, which is the low-income multifamily energy loan. This is an unsecured loan product that is operationalized through Capital for Change. I'll speak to the terms in a moment. CPage, which is managed by the Green Bank. this secured loan product for energy efficiency and solar, solar-only financing in the form of a solar power purchase agreement. So Lime and T-PACE are kind of distinct. You can do kind of choose your own adventure. You can do a solar PPA and Lime for your energy efficiency. Solar through the C-PACE mechanism. The terms, up to 20 years, C-PACE is around 5 to 6%. For both Lime and C-PACE, up to 25% of the total cost can be health and safety measures. Right underneath this, we also have coming soon a green booster loan. We were the recipient of a program-related investment from the MacArthur Foundation, and we're using this to help enable projects to get across the finish line. So maybe if these rates don't work, but you're close, we can inject some supporting capital in there and hopefully get you, a positive 1.0 or greater savings investment ratio that makes the project happen. So we're trying to use the tools at our disposal to help enable folks to take advantage of their own opportunities.
Mirrors what both Annie and Marissa have already said, but we are really looking to really engage community groups to really help go deeper in our neighborhoods. And to think about energy and housing together in the multifamily sector. And energy and health, that's something you've heard kind of across the three presentations so far, is the need to find solutions for that, particularly around the Affordable Care Act. There's a lot of funding that went to hospitals and affected health providers. So that's something we're looking at a high level as solutions or things to solve for. Other things to solve for, really the small rentals, the 2 to 4 units, as you saw, it's kind of hard to tap into that market, and kind of the smaller multifamilies, the 5 to 9.
And I would say a lot of these are open questions that we're struggling with, so obviously there is low-hanging fruit out there, but the people who are enthusiastic about moving forward in attacking these challenges are going to be the folks that we cross those bridges with, so we're always happy to have those conversations.
And the kind of bigger policy things that are on our horizon, and we're looking at community solar, watching sub-metering policies, utility allowances, multifamily, and then Grid 2.0 partnership with the utilities to think through data and serving this network. This is our direct line and contact information.
Well, thank you very much for filling in for Carrie. That was, I just saw the email. So Tracy Babbage is here from Hartford. I knew Tracy years ago, and she came to talk about air pollution through environmental justice, and now she's, I'm not sure your title, deputy commissioner of, at DEEP. So she used to live in New Haven, I think, even. But I asked her, since she's here, to talk briefly about community shared solar, because I know there's so much interest in that. She says they have not decided yet where the pilots will go, unfortunately. But
so I'll just go pretty quickly here. Hi, everyone. I'm Tracy Babbage. I'm the Bureau Chief for Energy Policy. I have a long history with the department. I worked on our air quality programs and then moved over to the energy policy side. We're sort of the newest group at DEEP, really trying to pull together and harmonize what we're doing on the environmental side with the energy side, so it keeps us very busy. Just a couple quick thoughts. I thought, all the presentations were terrific, and I think, as we think about just teeing things up for discussion, really thinking about, how we can do more to promote equity across our clean energy deployment. So things like, I think Annie and Marissa both talked about, really how do we reach the people that need the most help. I think we're working on that. We need to continue to work on that. All the speakers touched on sort of the challenge with multifamily, and I think, we need to keep, sort of chipping away at how we do that. I think one thing I'll say from the state's perspective, data is critical, and I think, we're doing a better job at getting at the larger scale data and looking at the general equity across the rate classes, but I think the drive is really to get that census tract data, and I think, we're working on it, we're doing better at it, but we need to continuously improve that and work with our partners to make sure that data is available so we can really see what's happening. I think weatherization barriers are one of our greatest challenges. It's an area where we don't have funding right now. So, you know, trying to really get at some of our old housing stock without funding to address asbestos, carbon monoxide, lead, those types of things are a huge problem. We do put out what we call our equitable distribution report. Andy referred to this. So we have data that's out there looking at this. And additional, we're actually getting very close to, there's a little bit of lag in terms of us getting the data out, but we're very close to getting out our 14 and 15 data. So I'm happy to provide the link for anybody that's interested in looking at that. I wanted to just talk, as Lynn mentioned, about our efforts on shared solar, because I know this group is pretty interested in it. As we go out and talk about it, it's something, you know, we're hearing a lot about. And I know folks have been very concerned about the fact that the initial step is to do a pilot, and there's a desire to go to a statewide program. We hear that. We understand it. A couple of things. I should start with just our schedule. So we are on track to release a request for proposals for developers to actually develop the two pilots. So we're under the legislation that was passed. We're in the process of implementing 6 megawatts as part of this pilot. So 4 megawatts in Eversource territory and 2 megawatts in UI territory. So we have a draft RFP. We held a public hearing on the draft RFP. The comment period is closed. We received a number of comments. But we're on track for a release for July 1 for the RFP. So we expect developers to see that, and then we are looking for bids to come in by September 1st, and we expect selection this fall. I think just, you know, a couple things that we've been working through is, you know, having the option for a utility electric distribution company model has been one of the things. It's one of the options that we're incorporating. The other thing that there's been discussion about, you know, how do you really reach and ensure that you're reaching the low-income population? And then the third piece has been really ensuring that there are adequate consumer protections around how we do these projects. So I think we sort of worked through all that. We're on track, as I said, to move forward with the program. And we're really looking forward to it. I think we'll learn a lot from this, and I think we'll be able to sort of package up what the results of it are and look at, you know, how we broaden the program. I know folks have asked questions about how you selected the sites. No, we're going to, you know, it depends on sort of what comes in as part of your approval process. So that's kind of where we are, and I'm happy to take questions as we go into the question and answer period. Thank you.